world loves that song sentimentally. Those who know Christ know what this grace is talking about. Amazing Christ, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. 'Twas Christ that taught my heart to fear, and Christ my fears relieved. How precious did that Christ appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come, 'tis Christ hath brought me safe thus far, and Christ will lead me home. The world can't sing that. Let's try that sometime. All right, John 12. John chapter 12. But before we get into that, look at John chapter 4. Back to John 4. Look at two verses here in John chapter 4 with me, and then we'll go over to John 12. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Let's read these. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now over to John 12. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. That means from the heart, in sincerity, the inward man, and in truth. You must worship God through Christ, in Christ, by faith in Christ. Look at John 12 now, verse 20. There were certain Greeks, Gentiles, among the Jews at the Passover feast that came up to worship at the feast. These men came not to play religious games, not to go through the outward form or ceremony of religion, but they came with a sincere desire to worship God. That's what it says here. They came up to worship, to know God. Somehow or another, they found out that there was one way you could worship God, and that's through a Passover lamb. That's where they came, Joe. They came to the Passover feast where a lamb was about to be shed, blood, to worship God. So that's all they knew. Well, buddy, that's a lot. They came to worship. They didn't come just to go through this ceremony. It's the Jews did. It says the Jews came up to purify themselves and keep the feast. And these fellows came to worship. And look at verse 21. So they came in spirit, didn't they? They came from the heart with a true desire, sincere desire to worship God. All right? That's what it said. All right, how'd they worship? In truth. They came to Christ. And Christ revealed the gospel to them. Look at it. Verse 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, asked him, saying, Sir, and they said this entreating him, or really desiring, really wanting to see this one, and saying very respectfully, Sir, I believe they had heard that this man was an apostle or a disciple of Christ. Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see and hear and be taught by and about this man. That's why we come. We came to worship God, and we heard there's a man sent from God who could be the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. May we see him?
This is why I believe that Christ was talking to them as well as Peter and Andrew. Anybody who comes seeking and asking shall receive. Huh?
Anyone who truly, and I say this to anyone in here this morning, anyone who truly comes here desiring to worship God is going to worship God. Anyone who comes here to truly understand this word, like that woman back there in John 4, when the Christ has come, he'll tell us all things. Well, you come to the Christ and he will tell you all things. You come to worship. Come to understand the word of God. You'll understand. You'll know the doctrine. Whether it's of God or not, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what these fellows wanted. That's what they received. And the time has come, and now is. True worshipers worship the Father in spirit. They come to worship. Is there two or three in here this morning? You come here to worship God from the heart, not just because you decided to go to church on this morning. No. Not because some emotional something happened or whatever. No. I want to know God. Preacher, would you tell me about God? You going to read that book? Well, how can I know what it's saying except some man tell me? All right, I'll tell you. You'll find out. You'll worship God. You'll know, and you'll do it in truth. You'll do it in the gospel. You'll do it through Christ. All those who truly come to worship, they hear the gospel. That's how they worship. Well, these fellows did. They came to worship. They came seeking Christ. They didn't know much about him, did they? Man doesn't have to know much about Christ or the gospel to seek him. That's why he comes. No more. They didn't know much about Christ. They knew he was an extraordinary man and could be the Christ. And Christ personally, they came seeking, and Christ personally revealed himself to them through the gospel. Let's look at it. Verse 23. Jesus answered them. He spoke with them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Now, anyone in here, does everyone in here know what Son of Man means? Why did he say Son of Man? Why does he say that? He says it more than 50 times in the Gospel of John alone. Why does he say that? I don't know. Would you tell me, please? Okay. And it's not necessary that I call myself Son of Man, is it? That's obvious. I'm a man. You've seen my Father. He's with you. He's been with you. Henry Mahan. I'm son of that man. Right? Christ said, called himself the Son of Man. He had to. He had to qualify himself. Christ says this because, first of all, he is not first the Son of Man. Oh, child is born. The baby born. But the Son is given. That's Isaiah 9:6. There was a man who walked this earth, but he wasn't just a man. He was not first a man. Why, he's the first and last. He was not just a man. Oh, no, he's God. Very God of very God. But God was manifest in the flesh. And he says, "I'm the Son of Man. I became flesh." God manifest in the flesh, but not just a man, not a mere ordinary man. I want you to turn to this, okay? Hebrews chapter 2. I've quoted this to you before, but I want you to look at it. I want you to mark it in your Bible. Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2.
Got it? All right. Hebrews 2. All right. He's quoting from Psalm 8, beginning with verse 6. Hebrews 2, verse 6. One in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that God is mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower." This son of man made him a little lower than the angels, or that is, in actual essence, he was limited to a body, per se. "Thou crownest him, though, with glory and honor, did set over him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that's not put under him." But now, we don't see all these things put under him, do we? Verse 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? Why was God made a man? Why did he make himself a body? Who is this Jesus? Well, we see him as Jesus, made a little lower than the angels. Why? Why? For the suffering of death. Why did Christ become a man? So he could die. God can't die. God is spirit. So God took a body to kill it, to die. All right? Stay with me. All right, go back to the text in John 12. You see that? It says, we see Jesus a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. We see this one, this man named Jesus. There was a man named Jesus. Why? To die. Okay? And Paul went on to say, we see him now crowned with glory and honor. These men saw Jesus, didn't they? We would see Jesus. See that? We would see Jesus. Well, they saw him, didn't they? Why? They saw a man. Why? Because that man had to die. But how'd they see him after he revealed himself to them? You reckon they called him Jesus? Huh? You reckon they went out of there, Stan? You reckon they went out of there after he revealed all this, his glory and being lifted up and all this about himself? You reckon they went out of there and said, "That Jesus is something in it. This Jesus fellow." Oh, no, it was the Lord. Thomas saw him as Jesus for a long time, didn't he? He said, "I won't believe until I've... Because he just comes to me and shows me the nail prints in his hand and his side. He's dead. That Jesus is dead. I won't believe until he shows me he's more than a man." Well, he came and he did. And what did Thomas say? "My Lord and my God." We see Jesus. Most men, that's all they see him as. Therefore, that's what they call him. Jesus. We see him, yes, as Jesus, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We see him a lot higher than that now. He's not in Mary's arms. He's not in man's hands. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, unto whom the angels themselves call him Lord and God. So how much more a man, a maggot, what am I going to call him? My God. That's significant. That reveals how a man sees. Yes, it does. I cannot make enough of that. All right? Here in John 12, he said, "Now the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." His finest hour is here. His greatest glory. His death on a cross. Him going to the cross and hanging naked, dying. His greatest glory, his finest hour. How can that be? Look over at Luke chapter 9. This is wonderful. Luke chapter 9. I'm concerned with getting through these verses. We're going verse by verse, but if we don't get past this Luke 9 here, it will thrill me. Because this is thrilling here. Luke chapter 9. Now, death is something that you and I are totally passive to. Death is something that's going to happen to you. Death comes to us and takes us. Scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Scripture says God has appointed his bounds he cannot pass. The number of his months, his days are with God. God determines it. Death comes to us, willing or not. Most people are not willing. That's the reason they fight it. Willing or not, death comes and takes them. Not Christ. He said in another place, he said, no man takes my life from me. He said that right in front of a whole crowd of people who wanted nothing more than to kill him. He said, no man takes my life from me. They said, get him, boys. Scripture said, his hour wouldn't come. Couldn't do it. Couldn't touch him. Touch not my anointed. He won't lay a hand on him until God says, okay. Can't kill the immortal one. It's only if he decides to lay down his life. He said in John 10, we just looked at that. He said, therefore my Father doth love me because I lay down my life willingly, voluntarily, of my own power. I lay down my life. Look at Luke 9, verse 31. This is the story of Moses and Elijah who talked with Christ on that Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 31, it says, they appeared in glory, Moses and Elijah. In other words, they were in a glorious body. And spake of his, or Christ's, decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah came to speak with Christ, and what did they talk about? His death. The expiration of his earthly life, which he should accomplish. This accomplishment. Have you ever heard it said of somebody at their funeral? Well, he accomplished death. Huh? Oh no, cancer killed him. Heart attack killed him. Here it says they talk about how he would accomplish this thing. Death. Accomplished. Oh, this is wonderful. Death is an accomplishment to Christ. Death is Christ accomplishing or fulfilling or successfully fulfilling God's purpose. God's purpose was accomplished in him dying. Christ's death was an accomplishment. Christ accomplished or he finished salvation. Salvation was finished. There went one of those flowers. That'll make you think of our death. A petal just fell off. All flesh is as a grass, flower of the field, flower withereth. Death is not an accomplishment to you. It's going to happen. Your body's next. Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk about that tonight. Charles Ross, probably you. Probably. Probably. You ought to have a great interest in this accomplishment here, Charles. He accomplished death. It's going to happen to you. He accomplished it. Because he accomplished it, you're not going to feel its sting, Charles. accomplishment. Christ finished this salvation. He made himself die. He willed his own death. He willed his own death. I love the story when he was hanging on the cross. It says, after he cried with a loud voice, the shout of a king. Remember what the shout of the king was? It's finished. And it says he bowed his head. This is his finest hour. His greatest glory, said, the hour has come. The Son of Man should be glorified. And in his finest hour, the accomplishment of so great a salvation, after he said, I've done it all, even while hanging on the cross, seemingly helpless, he was in control of the whole situation. He was putting away our sin. He went to hell and back hanging there. He went somewhere, this fit man, this scapegoat with my sin on it, and deposited them, never to be seen by God again. Yes, it was an accomplishment, the putting away of my sin. And after he did all that, he bowed his head. Curtain call. Bowed his head. It didn't hang low. It didn't drop and loll helplessly. He bowed it as one taking a... and gave up the ghost. Died. Killed himself. Left his body. That's an accomplishment. Isn't it, huh? That's an accomplishment. See, Christ assumed a body like we would a pair of work clothes we put on. A body hast thou given me. Christ put on this body as a pair of work clothes and came down to this world to do a job. And after he got the job done, folded that up and left the body. A little while later, 3 days later, he went, came back in it. And now he went, and then he went back to glory in that glorified body, and there he sits, a man. But more. The death he accomplished. Oh, my. My. The hour is come. Back to the text now, John 12. The hour is come. The hour predetermined before the foundation of the world that Christ should expire on the cross. That I be glorified. Look at verse 24. He says, verily, verily, of a truth, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Verily, verily, except it die, it abideth alone. Now, unless the Lord Jesus Christ had agreed to come to this earth and die, there would be no earth. It would be just God. That's right. Unless Christ had come to this earth and agreed to die, unless they had made this covenant, this agreement together before the world ever began, that Christ would come down here and die at this time, there would be no earth. There'd be no universe. There'd be nothing but God alone. Or Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Don't need man. Don't need earth. Don't need anything. Alone. But if he'd come and die, if he'd come, agree to do this and die, he'd bear much fruit. Now listen, in light of that, listen to Ephesians 1. Listen as I read this. You see, God has made known unto us the mystery of his will. I'm trying to hope you'll understand what I just said, me reading this. This will make known unto you what I just said. God has made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself. This is God's purpose. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, in time, he might gather together in one
all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, in earth, even in Christ, all things in Christ, that we, that all things should be to the praise of the glory of His grace, to glorify God's Son. In other words, God created planet earth to glorify His Son. That's why the whole thing was created, to glorify God's Son. And God is going to glorify His Son the most. Christ is going to get His greatest glory in doing this work of redemption. That's why He came. Oh, God could have just made the angels, you know, and let the angels fly around and glorify Christ and give Him glory and say, what a beautiful, wonderful person this Christ is. But He created man and allowed man to fall, and just the whole gospel story. He created a terrible backdrop, and in the midst of this black backdrop of sin, put this pearl of great price. And in the end, angels can't really worship Him. They just see Him in part of His character. They just see Him as holy and righteous and just and good, yes, but then sinners. There's going to be a heaven full of sinners saved by His grace, by His mercy, singing to the top of their lungs. Angels will be singing, but sinners will be singing to the top of their lungs. We're going to say, you know it by rote. We know it by heart. Because He did this for us. That makes sense to you. That's why He created this whole thing. If Christ hadn't agreed, if God hadn't purposed it, and Christ agreed to come, had He created Adam, and Adam failed, it'd have snuffed him out. Right there. No more man. Don't need him. He can't serve my purpose. But a sinner saved by grace, singing of God's mercy and grace, a trophy of His grace, can bring glory to His Son. Can see that? See that, Joe? Ought to quit. I'll just quit right there. But I got something else to say. All right, back to John 12 now. That's what Christ said. You see, Stan, I wanted to get through several verses. Now my goal is to get through three. Three verses. But you've been teaching that. You know what it's like, don't you? One truth brought home to the heart. What all can be said about it? Well, read this. Look at this. This is wonderful. Christ said, if it die now, if it die, if this wheat, corn of wheat, why do you say wheat? I think, you know, bread's made out of wheat. If wheat die, then if this grain of wheat die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Christ likens Himself to seed planted, which bringeth forth much fruit. Seed planted. Did I say this a moment ago? More than 50 times in the Gospel of John, Christ is called the sent one. Sent by God. That God sent Him. 50 times. John said over in his epistle, that John couldn't even describe that which came from God. Life. In Him we live. Life. Born again of incorruptible seed. That one, life, light, sent by God, was planted, this seed, this supernatural. That's what the angels, when angels came to Mary. See, the angels didn't know. The angels came to Mary, sent by God to announce the birth of this God-man, this being. God in a womb of a woman. And the angel said, that holy thing. That's all they could describe it. This is what this is what the Israelites in the wilderness, when white bread started coming down from heaven. That's what they called it. What is it? That's what they called it. You know that? What is it? That's what they called it. That's what manna means in the Hebrew. What is it? That's what the angel said. This thing came down from a... What is it? That's what John said. That seed. Ooh. In a womb of a woman. Root out of dry ground. The power of God. You know what power... You know how we get the word dynamite? Dynamite? Dunamis. Greek word dunamis means power. That's exactly what the word power of God. Christ, the power of God. The dunamis, the dynamite of God. One seed. Best I can illustrate this is that years ago, 40-some years ago, man created a bomb. An atomic bomb. Dropping that bomb which fell from heaven and annihilated millions. And even the fallout from that later on killed millions more. God sent something from heaven to and it didn't annihilate life, it created it. God planted life in the earth, the power, the dunamis of God, which caused the life of many. Scripture says, as in Adam, all die. Sin just exploded and permeated this world like that atomic dust. Well, in Adam all died, but in Christ, all those in Christ made alive. This is power now. This is power. Man can't create one life. God, by the death of one, created many. Oh, I wish we could just dwell on this some more. But he said here, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, why did Christ have to die? Why did Jesus Christ have to die? Why didn't he just come down here and say, I forgive you? Or why didn't Christ just come down here and take everybody back to heaven? That's what they say about most messiahs. It's coming. They're going to, you know, what was it? Hail's bop. Get on board the bop. It's here to get us. It's going to just, the Messiah's going to come, just take us back to glory. That's not what, and that's what threw the Jews. The Jews said, well, we thought he's just going to restore the kingdom and just, take us back to glory. Even the disciples thought that. Why'd he have to die? He'd been telling them all along, hadn't he? He'd been telling them all along. God'd been telling it from Genesis chapter 3. Hadn't he? They did. They didn't know the scriptures. He had to die. Look down at verse 32. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. And after he died and came back from the dead, and he said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets said, ought not Christ to have died and enter into his glory? Look at verse 27. What shall I say? Save me from this hour? Save me from this death. This is why I came, to die. Why? Do you know why? Most religion says God loves you and Christ died for you. Why? I never forget Brother James giving this illustration about that. See, preachers don't tell people why. They don't know why. Brother James said, it'd be like me telling my wife. He said, honey, I love you. And they get a gun out and boom. Why? What does that prove? Can he do more for me by living? Well, he will do that too, but he got to die first. Why? Do we have another hour? Y'all race the last hour. Let's just act like we started all over again, okay? I wish we did, but we don't. Except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. Why? God is holy. God is holy. I can't even describe that. God hates sin. God must punish sin. God is just. Scripture says He's a just God first and a Savior. Not a Savior first. No. A just God and a Savior. The Scripture says a couple of times, He will by no means clear the guilty. God said, the soul that sinneth must surely die. Then it was, and that was it. Must die. He said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God won't forgive. God does not forgive sins. Scripture says every sin will receive a just recompense of reward. Every sin committed by every human being will be punished. God is just. Well, how can God be just and yet let me go free? Justify me, save me, declare me innocent. How? Do you know the answer to that? That's why Christ died. Substitution, satisfaction. Have you heard it? Do you know it? The gospel is these two words, substitution and satisfaction. Man cannot satisfy God's law. Man's a sinner. Man's got to die. He got to pay for his sin. So God became a man. And the Scripture says He was made sin for us. That's the reason He said here, my soul's troubled. That's the reason He sweat blood in the garden. Why did He sweat blood? Thinking about dying on that, thinking about the nails and the crown of... Oh, no. Thinking about hanging naked? Oh, no. That wasn't what... It was being made sin. His holy nature recoiled against the idea, but He said, no, I've got to. I'm a lamb. I'm a sacrifice. Lay all the sins of your people on my back. And I'll go and die for them. Punish me in their stead. Let them go free. Punish me. Let them go free. Give me what they've got coming to them. Give them what I've got coming to me. Acceptance. Love. Huh? God laid on Him the iniquity of all His people. And He died a substitute. He satisfied the law perfectly. Holy man. And then died a substitute. Satisfied justice. Satisfied the penalty of the law. Death. Blood. Separation from God. That's the reason He cried on the cross, why hast thou forsaken me? Because death and hell is separation from God. And for a while, God separated himself from God. That's what happened. And Christ satisfied my substitute and died. But he didn't stay dead. That proves that God accepted it. Accepted the sacrifice. You got 30 more minutes? I can tell you about the high priest, you know, who went in there. And proof that the blood shed and laid on the altar was accepted by God was when that high priest walked out of that bait. The bells still rang on his garment. And he walked out without blood. Walked in, not without blood. Walked out without blood. He said, "Touch me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones." On that blood, left it in the Holy of Holies. I like that.
Well, all right. What am I feeling?
Joe, you got a hymn picked out? 209. Why did Christ die? As a substitute for all of God's people. Except he die now, he'll stand alone. But if he dies for you, all fruit unto glory. Salvation. All right.
209. Stand with me. Let's sing the first and the last stanza. 209. Text, 1 Corinthians 15, and come on out tonight. All right.
Number 4.
Marvelous is my matchless grace. Thank you.
comes to the point of death, they fight it naturally. They fight it.